So we're in a sermon series called Introducing the Holy Spirit, and we started last week on Pentecost Sunday, Introducing the Holy Spirit. And as I was thinking about the message today, one of my favorite commercials came to mind. It's the State Farm commercial. State Farm commercial. You know, somebody's in trouble. You know, maybe their house is caught on fire. A tree has fallen, you know, on their car. And then they're like, oh, what do I do? And then you just say the magic words, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. And then, boom, the guy shows up in the red shirt and the khakis and is going to take care of everything, right? You don't have to worry about a thing. They're going to file the claim for you. You know, they're going to make sure that you get a brand new house, right? You know, just don't worry about it. All your stuff is going to be recovered. And sometimes I think we think of the Holy Spirit like that, that we only call on the Holy Spirit when we're in times of crisis. Like a good neighbor, the Holy Spirit is there. Like, God, I'm in trouble. I talk to the Father, you know, Jesus, he's not around. So maybe if we call on the Holy Spirit, and some of us don't call on the Holy Spirit until we're in that moment of desperation. When we feel like, okay, there's nothing else we can do, so we might as well call on the Holy Spirit. There's nothing else that we can say, so we might as well say the name Holy Spirit three times, and the Holy Spirit will show up. Some of y'all got the reference. But the Holy Spirit is more than that. And Jesus told us that the Holy Spirit was more than that, something that we didn't have to depend on just in times of crisis, but really in our everyday lives. In our every moment, every waking life, that he wasn't giving us an insurance plan when he's not there, when Jesus isn't there. Don't worry, I got a good backup for you. I got the Holy Spirit. Hey, when you get in trouble, don't worry about it. I got a good, you know, secondhand, you know, tool for you that will get you through. He's like, no, this is something way deeper, something much more powerfully transformative than just the State Farm insurance guy. And today we want to look at taking a deeper look at the Holy Spirit, not as that backup plan, but the very way that God keeps his promise. So because I'm not standing, I'm not going to ask you to stand in the reading of the scripture today. John 14, chapter 14, verses 15 through 26. But let's read it all together, shall we? If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. Ooh. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not the bad one, said, Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I said to you. This is the word of the Lord. The people said, thanks be to God. Let this word fill our minds, flow from our mouths, and free our hearts to live as the beloved children of God. The title of the message today is very simply, The Holy Advocate. The Holy Advocate. That's That's who we want to meet the Holy Spirit in today, is the advocate. And Jesus is preparing his disciples for his departure. He knows that this is going to be rough. He's going to be betrayed. He's going to be crucified. He's going to be resurrected. He's going to ascend into heaven, returning to the Father, and this is going to shake up the world of his closest disciples. It is going to fill them with all kinds of fear, loneliness, questions around whether or not they made the right decision. And because Jesus knows and understands this, he is so sensitive that he ministers to them in this time of grief. He says these words, listen, y'all, I'm going to be taken off out of here, but I am not going to leave you as orphans. In other words, I'm not going to leave you alone. He tells them, I got to go to a better place. And in my mind, I'm thinking, what can be better than actually having Jesus, the incarnate logos of God, physically present? What could be better than that? What could be better than having Jesus right there with you to eat and fellowship and be in relationship with you? And he says, something even better is coming, but I've got to go away in order to give it. What a tender promise that I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to give you something even better. He doesn't say I'm leaving, so good luck. He doesn't say I'm leaving, so do the best you can with what you got. He says, no, I am going to leave you with an advocate. Everybody say advocate. I'm going to leave you with an advocate. And this is who the Holy Spirit is introduced as by Jesus in this Gospel of John. That word advocate in the Greek is parakletos or paraclete. It is rich in meaning. It literally means to come alongside someone. It's a legal term, though. It's a legal term when you need an advocate for you, somebody who understands the law and can defend you, the advocate will come. But not just in a legal sense, also in a relational sense. When you need a companion, when you are struggling on the journey, the advocate comes alongside you to pick you up on your journey. But also as a counselor, somebody who could sit with you. This word advocate is rich in meaning. And one of the ways I would encourage you to read this passage of scripture is through different translations. This is the NIV translation we read today, which uses the word advocate. But in the CSB, it uses the word counselor. Because these are some other words that relate to the advocate. A counselor, somebody who gives wisdom and insight. So our advocate comes alongside like a counselor. But our advocate also comes alongside like a comforter. Someone who soothes us. Someone who understands and empathizes with our strain and our struggle. A companion. One translation calls the advocate the friend. He says, hey, listen, I'm going away, but my friend is coming to be with you. Have you ever thought of the Holy Spirit as a friend? Have you ever thought of your relationship with God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, as someone so close to you as a friendship where y'all get to hang out and have ice cream together or sweet potato pie, whatever it is that you like to have? That you could have that kind of close relationship with the Holy Spirit, that they would be friends with you. And then also that the Holy Spirit is a truth teller. To be an advocate is someone who tells the truth, that tells the truth about you, who tells the truth about the world and the circumstances that you're engaged in, who tells the truth to keep it real with you so that you would grow and become even more into the person that you were made in the image of God. Which one of these advocate characteristics is most needed in your life right now today? Do you need God to be the comforter because you are going through some kind of difficulty or hardship? Do you need the advocate to be a counselor for you, someone who gives wisdom and insight? Or how about a companion, that friend that you can just call on? You just need someone to know that you're being seen and being heard. Or truth teller. Truth of the matter is that the Holy Spirit, the advocate, can be all of these and more for us. And the promise that Jesus gives, this is the difference of what makes Jesus going away so good. The difference is that this Holy Spirit will not just be with you. Verse 17 says that the Holy Spirit will be in you. So the very moment that you become a follower of Jesus, the very moment that you accept the realization that you belong to God, is the moment in which you receive the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is a part of your life, not just on the outside, Sarah, but on the inside, as a comforter, as a counselor, as a companion, and as a truth teller. And that's why Jesus can say, listen, there's going to come a time when you are going to need to know that you know that you know that this Spirit is with you. And I want you to understand, the Spirit is not just with you, but the Spirit is in you. The same Spirit that led Jesus to the cross, the same Spirit that rose Christ from the grave, lives inside of you. Knife, that's wild. That is wild that the same power and presence of God that rose Jesus Christ from the dead lives inside of us. And history says that we haven't always believed this. It took about 380 years before the Nicene Creed included this clause about the Holy Spirit being equal with God the Father and God the Son. About 380 years, people are like wondering, like, how do we understand this Holy Spirit? This Holy Spirit is something other than this. This Holy Spirit is like the third iteration of God. First, there was the Father, and then the Son came, and then, you know, the Holy Spirit. There was not this rich Trinitarian vision and view that was codified in a creed until around 380, 381 AD. And so we've been wrestling with this Holy Spirit, this advocate, for a long time. And that's okay if you're wrestling with this Holy Spirit's presence in your life as well. If it took them 381 years to figure it out, beloved, give yourself some grace. But also understand and don't neglect that this Spirit takes shape in you. The Spirit takes shape in you. One theologian says it like this, that the Holy Spirit in us is like the Holy Spirit in Jesus while Jesus walked the earth. That when we understand that the same Spirit was in Jesus as Jesus walked the earth, it is in us, it is to say of us, when God sees us, God sees dynamic Holy Spirit present in every human form right here. The advocate, the comforter, the counselor, is at work as an advocate. And as an advocate, he does these four things. If you're taking notes, the first thing the Spirit does, the advocate does, is comfort and encourage. The advocate comforts and encourages. You know what it's like to be weary, right? You know what it's like to feel like you've failed. You know what it feels like to have fallen, to believe that God must be disappointed in you. But the Holy Spirit doesn't come to shame you in your weakness, doesn't come to shame you in your failure. The Holy Spirit comes to comfort you in the midst of your weakness and in the midst of your failure, not to scold you, but to pick you up. There was an old Donnie McClurkin song. Anybody know Donnie McClurkin? No, two people. Good Lord, Jesus. Leading a multiracial church. Boy, I tell you, sometimes I need y'all to do some research. Donnie McClurkin said, we fall down, but we get up. We fall down, but we get up. We fall down, but we get up. For a saint is just a sinner who fell down and got up. The Spirit encourages us to get back up. No matter how many times you fall, the Spirit is there lifting, picking, advocating for you to get up. When the world is judging you, the Spirit steps in and says, that's my child who belongs to me. Gordon Fee says it like this. The Spirit is God's empowering presence, not God's condemning presence. The Spirit of God is God's empowering presence, not God's condemning presence. Your mind ought to go to Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Save that condemnation for somebody else. It ain't for me. I know I'm not perfect. And the Spirit advocates and encourages and strengthens me, because the Spirit comes with presence, with stillness, with knowing, with a peace that surpasses any and all understanding, advocating for me to get back up. You fell down. Come on, beloved. Have you ever been with somebody who didn't, you know, try to pick you up, but they wanted to just tell you everything you did wrong? Like, I already know what I did wrong. I already know. Right? But I'm here to remind you of the many ways. And it's not that the Spirit doesn't guide us, because that's the second thing that the Spirit does. The Spirit guides us and illuminates us with truth. So it's not that the Holy Spirit is just there to comfort and not to reveal to us when we have done wrong, when we have messed up, when we have made mistakes. The Spirit is there to comfort and encourage. And secondly, the Spirit is there to guide and illuminate. Jesus says in verse 26 that the advocate will teach you all things. Everybody say all things. The Holy Spirit is going to teach you all things, Andrew. He's going to teach you all things. He's going to reveal to you all things. And the all things are about you, what God believes about you. What the psalmist says is that the number of grains of sand on the beach are not worthy to be compared to the number of lovely thoughts that God has about you. When you want to hear and understand what the Spirit, with God, the Father, the Son, and Spirit believe about you, it is to sit and rest in this presence as God illuminates that for you. St. Basil the Great says the Spirit is the sunlight that enables the eye of the heart to see. The Spirit comes in like sun, opening up our hearts so that we can see clearly what it is that God wants to reveal about us. That you were made in the good image of God. If you've been around Sanctuary long enough, you understand that a foundational belief of what we think about how God sees you is that God first sees you as you are made in the image of God. In Genesis 1 and 2, after everything that God made, he said it was what? Good. And after he made humanity, he said it was what? Come on, somebody. Some good theologians up in here. Does that mean we're not impacted by sin and the fall of man? No. But the way God sees you, he doesn't see you as some worthless worm. He doesn't look at you and say, I messed up on that one. He doesn't look at you and say, you ain't fill in the blank. That's how the world thinks about us, right? Or if you grew up in a home where you didn't have that kind of loving affirmation by a good father, you might have received an impact or maybe projected that thought on God. That God, you see me the way this father in my home does not lovingly see me. And so therefore, I'm always trying to work and earn my relationship with God. God says, no, I'm the good father who made you in my image. And I see that you are good. Here's the third thing that the Spirit does. The advocate empowers and transforms. The Holy Spirit is not content to just leave us where we are. Hallelujah. The Spirit is not content to just leave us right where we are, encouraging us and empowering us. Not just encouraging you. Come on, you can do it. You just graduated from kindergarten. Go ahead and turn your tassel. No shade for the kindergarten graduates in the house. Or the fifth grade or the eighth grade graduates. You lose it. I know it's just... I didn't grow up in that era. I'm saying, like, I don't know. The Spirit is there not just to encourage, but to empower, and empowering you to deal with the fallenness of our humanity. Empowering you to deal with the sin. Empowering you to deal with the brokenness. Empowering you to deal with the heaviness. Empowering you to be an overcomer. To overcome the addiction, to overcome the falling 70 times 7, to overcome that the Spirit enters into your life so that you would be empowered and transformed in your likeness so that you would be more like him. And here's the fourth thing. The Spirit intercedes and defends. I love this part. This is probably my favorite part about the whole advocate, to be honest with you. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 comes to mind, right? We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit intercedes for us through wordless groans. Wow. Nobody else blown away by that? In our weakness, when you don't know what to pray for, the Spirit intercedes for you with groanings, moans. There's an old tradition in the Black church called tarrying. You might know what tarrying is? Tarrying in the Spirit. Tarrying in the Spirit is, they would even have a tarrying bench, or some, they would call it a mourning bench. And you would sit there, and everybody knew you were grieving something. Everybody in the community would know that there was something heavy in your spirit. And as you sat there, there wouldn't even be words to come out. It'd just be some moans. This, now, I'm not talking about like a stub your toe kind of groan. I'm talking about a deep moan in your soul that is like from a deep place of grief, of lament, and of heaviness. And it would impact and influence the spirit of the community that was praying right along with the brother, the sister who was there on the morning bench, tarrying and inviting the Holy Spirit to be present. That is the Holy Spirit at work inside of you. And this is a spiritual practice that you're not going to find in Dale Calhoun's Dictionary of Spiritual Disciplines. But how do you teach somebody to tarry and to moan in the Spirit? You don't teach it, you catch it. You don't teach it, you catch it. It's around being around some old grandmothers. I'm for real. It's about being around some old folks that have been through some things that said, I don't have any words for what I'm going through right now. And all I can do is just shout, ha! All I could do is moan. All I can do is just, I don't even have the words to get it out of me because it is so heavy. And there are times in our lives, beloved, when you're not going to have the words. You got all 66 books of the Bible, but there ain't enough words to identify what you are going through in this moment right now. The pain you're going through, the disappointment you're going through, the trauma you're trying to overcome. And what it will take is the power and presence of the Holy Spirit interceding, advocating for you when you don't even have the words yourself. God, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. That's the only word I got right now. But you know what is so beautiful about this advocacy is that not only do you have the Holy Spirit as an advocate for you, you also have Jesus Christ as an advocate for you. In Hebrews chapter 7, 25 and 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, Jesus is called our advocate before the Father in heaven. So you have these two intercessors taking place for you right now. Jesus as an external advocate in heaven, advocating for you, and the Holy Spirit, an internal advocate, working inside of you. And the two are working together for your good. Wow. If it's too heavy for you this morning, just say, ouch. Wow. Jesus interceding for you at the right hand of God in heaven, the Holy Spirit interceding inside of you to remind you of these things. You are enough. You are loved. You are not too broken. You have everything you need right now inside of you. You are God's beloved child. Jesus said, I will not leave you as an orphan. Theologian Karl Barth says that the Spirit is the bond of love between the Father and the Son, and now between God and us. Wow. The relationship that Jesus has with the Father, we now get to have through the Holy Spirit ourselves. when Jesus says, I don't do anything that I don't see the Father doing. That's the same spirit that lives inside of you. That is the same power and presence, comforting, guiding, empowering, defending for you. Even more so, should we wake up in the morning and say, welcome, Holy Spirit. In the moment of crisis, sure, welcome, Holy Spirit. But in those moments of joy, welcome, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence to remind us that you are with us. Y'all know my primary meditation. If you don't, it's Luke chapter 3, verse 22. It's the baptism of Jesus, right? Because it's Jesus in the waters, the heavens opens up, the Father shouts and says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this is before Jesus does anything. Jesus is receiving, the Holy Spirit comes down like a dove and fills Jesus Christ. Why? Why is this my favorite and primary meditation? It's my favorite and primary meditation because my father, who transitioned in 2015, would always say to me at the end of every conversation, I am proud of you, son. And I would ask him why. And he would say, because you are my beloved child. There's nothing you can do or undo to take that love away from you. So when he transitioned in 2015, it was the one thing that I missed the most. Dad, I want to hear you say, I'm proud of you. And then the Spirit would remind me, I'm saying it to you right now. He's saying it to you right now. And when we understand that presence has something more powerful, even to transcend what we can have here in the physical, is something we can have in the spiritual realm and sense that the presence of the Holy Spirit is with us right now, even though you can't feel the Holy Spirit, even though you can't see the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Spirit is with you. And beloved, the presence of your loved ones who have transitioned on, they are with you as well. Their presence encouraging, strengthening, lifting, and even interceding for you. So how do we respond then to this advocacy? There's three ways. Number one, hear and listen. How do we respond to the advocate? Hear and listen. The Spirit is always speaking. That's one of my foundational things about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is always at work and always speaking. Sometimes very loudly, sometimes very quietly. In fact, silence is one of the primary ways in which the Spirit speaks. How does the Spirit speak in silence? Because the Spirit speaks through our stillness. When it's too noisy out in the world, we can't hear what the Spirit is saying. We get it confused with us and somebody else and so forth and so on. Henry Nouwen says, without silence, it is virtually impossible to live a spiritual life. And some of us, be honest, we're afraid of silence. What is going, what are they going to say? Some of us don't want to talk to the Holy Spirit even because we're afraid of what the Holy Spirit might say. I don't want you calling nothing out, please. Ain't got time for that today. In the silence is where we hear God speak. In the Hebrew alphabet, the first letter is called the Aleph. And the Aleph is a letter of the Hebrew alphabet that is not even spoken. It's silent. Because God's first word is silence. It's breath. It's where we get that word spirit from. Again, I mentioned last week, the Ruach. It is the Spirit of God. It is the breath. It is the wind of God. So we respond in stillness. Secondly, we obey. And don't negate what you hear, okay? Because oftentimes, the voice isn't loud. I heard God say. Most oftentimes, it's something that's happening internally, a little nudge, even a small thing. Reach out to them. I really want you to let that go. would you come and spend some time with me? These are not big shouts, profound shouts. They're small things. But don't negate, even if it's small, that it's the Lord that is speaking. I think the Lord is speaking to somebody right now. I think the Lord is speaking to somebody right now and speaking right directly to your heart about something that you are dealing with. And it may not be something big and profound. It may be something really small, but the Holy Spirit is trying to nudge you in a way and saying, will you follow? Yesterday, we had a prayer walk in the neighborhood as we try to reengage compassion and justice. And one of the teams, you know, was praying around and asking for the Lord to show them something. And the first thing, I think it was the first thing they were praying and asking for some doors to open. And then they looked down and they saw a key. Now, it seems like really insignificant, but perhaps it was the Lord just giving them a little bit of nudge and saying, I got the key to open the doors to hearts in this neighborhood. Don't negate the small things. Because then they went and they continued to pray and they saw some trash and somebody said, you know, maybe we should pick up some trash here. You know, like if this were my place, I would pick up the trash. And other people were like, we ain't got no gloves. We ain't come prepared to pick up nobody's trash today. And then somebody looked over to the side and there was some doggy bags available for anybody who needed a doggy bag to pick up doggy stuff. And they used the doggy bags to pick up the trash. Again, as we listen to the Holy Spirit, it's oftentimes not something big. Take away the bigness out of following the Holy Spirit and just learn how to follow in step with what God is inviting you to do. Just the one small step. And as you learn to take those one small steps, God leads you to grow your faith and to build you up so that you can take bigger steps. But start small. Lord, what is the one step you're inviting me to take right now? Can I just pause for a second and just ask, Holy Spirit, even now, there are steps that individuals are praying about and thinking through. Holy Spirit, would you give them a word or a picture now? In the name of Jesus, give them a word or a picture now. What is the next small step that they are to take? Lord, you are the one who enters into our lives. You enter into our lives, and we are so grateful for it. Whether we are in a valley or on a mountaintop, you enter into our lives, guiding us by the hand and leading us to our next step. Would you lead your beloved children now, Lord Jesus, into their next step? Amen. So here's the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit is inviting us to respond by obeying and following. And then lastly, to yield and to trust. This is the hardest part of responding to the Spirit, right? It's really not listening. It's letting go. Hardest part of following the Holy Spirit is letting go, yielding. But that yielding brings us into alignment with the will of God. And it is to say to God, I don't have to be in control. I don't have to be the one pushing. I can be the one who simply rests in the surrender with God. The philosopher Dallas Willard says the first act of love is always the giving of attention, and then the second is surrender. How do we know that we love God? Is that we are surrendered to God's ways. We are surrendered to God's ways. Throughout this passage, he's speaking about love and elevating and emphasizing love as the means of connectedness in this relationship that Jesus has with the Father and that we can have with the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit, in love. So we don't have to be afraid of God, Father, Son, or Spirit, because we know that we are first loved by God, and we can love Him who first loved us. So what is your response today? In a moment, the worship team is going to come up. We're going to sing. We're going to have some ministry time. And as you hear and listen for the Holy Spirit at work in your life, what invitation do you sense the Holy Spirit drawing for you? Perhaps it is to come forward and invite someone to pray with you. To pray with you because there's a decision in front of you. To pray with you because you need some wisdom and some insight. Or maybe it is that you need the Holy Spirit to intercede for you. You don't have the words. What's beautiful is I would encourage you to read John 14, 15, and 16 in succession, because they all speak about the Holy Spirit and the way the Holy Spirit is at work in the lives of believers, but also in the lives of the world, those who do not yet believe. And it is to say that the Holy Spirit is constantly at work. And perhaps one of the things you are being invited to pray for right now is to pray for that loved one who's not yet a follower of Jesus, who hasn't been awakened to the Holy Spirit. I want to invite you not to give up on them, because God has not given up on them. The Holy Spirit has not given up on them. I would invite you not to give up on them either. Perhaps the invitation for you is to pray and intercede, or allow the Spirit to intercede with you and through you for that person's awakenness and awareness. What is it that you need? What is the peace that you need this morning? Will you bow your heads with me for just a moment again? Lord, I ask for a fresh filling of your Holy Spirit. I ask for a fresh awakening to your Spirit in our lives. Perhaps someone, Lord, doesn't have the words to pray themselves, and they need that groaning of the Holy Spirit, that tarrying. I pray for sensitivity to your still small voice, God. I pray for power to resist all kinds of temptation. I pray for loving union with Father, Son, and Spirit. We know presence is here and real. God, you're good. So good.